Hey everybody, welcome. It's time for another edition of Inside Lion Athletics. Everybody was everywhere last week. We had to pass on that one, but here we are again. Basketball season, it's come to its close. Lion men and women are done and it's on to the recruiting trails. Joining us first up this week, head coach Valerie King of Lion Women's Basketball. And coach, we were just down in Lake Charles, but I think we both hit at least three different destinations since. How you doing?
It's been a quick 10 days since our last game. Obviously trying to process, the year and all that kind of stuff, but also, having to get back on the road recruiting. So, a lot to do in a little amount of time.
Sure. So you told me we visited a little bit about this down at the Southland tournament, but what's the recruiting trail look like for your Lions staff?
Last week we were able to hit the region tournaments. There was one in Baytown at Lee College, Region 14, which is, our area of Texas with Kilgore, Trinity Valley, Tyler, Paris, all those. So that was really good. We're actively recruiting two or three kids from there. So, that's always a good spot for us to go. Region 2 in Oklahoma, we were there. We got to Alabama to their regional tournament and then into Region 5 in Odessa. So we were pretty spread out, but obviously needed to make some contacts and get some kids seen.
Coach, when y'all spread out like that, is it just one coach going in each direction, or do you use the buddy system?
It kind of depends, and it changes. We were all different places this time just because. I had seen most of the kids that we were all spreading out to see. So, we were sending different people to different places, if you want to say it that way, just to get different eyes on them and stuff like that. So, that way we all, could come together and make a decision on recruits.
When you go off to trips, how much do you bring back on any given player? Is it just get their name and where they are, and you can look everything else up online, or what?
No, I mean we try to get a lot of information, obviously. I mean it's March right now, so we've obviously done our due diligence with JUCO kids and recruiting. By this time, we have a lot of information. Academic backgrounds, family backgrounds, what type of character they have, hard workers, stuff like that. So, I mean we're trying to gauge all of that and bring it all together and then make the best choices for what fits us the best.
Okay, I know that the focus has been on JUCO for this portion of your recruiting schedule. What about the portal starts for Division I players that are not graduate students after the national championship? Isn't that how it's set up this year?
Yeah, it's been changed. So April 6th that opens, I believe, for us. Obviously it'll pick back up. We've got a few weeks, but there's plenty of stuff to do between now and then with that. So with recruiting, us talking about recruiting, I think it's the things we need to add obviously are some positional size. I think we've seen it the past couple of years. We've got to get a little bit bigger in the guard spots. And we've got to, obviously have a healthy four player. So, at the moment, those are our main goals. Adding a post player obviously is another one, but positional size has got to increase for us.
When you're watching a player out on the court, what are you looking for in a guard? Say you're there to just find the best guard in the tournament. It's not just about scoring, is it?
No, I mean, I can give you an example. I mean, we've been watching a kid at Tyler for quite a while now, but she's a point guard. She's very she, you can just tell her IQ's high when she's out there. She knows when she's driving it in there, she knows if she should lay it in. The thing I like most about her is she knows when to kick it out, and she knows to find her shooter. Those are the things I look at. Obviously all the intangibles. This kid talks a lot, so I think Stepping up, being a leader on the floor is a huge thing of what we're looking for as well. And how they act with their teammates and with their coaches during the game. You can tell a lot just by, watching that stuff, not even their game.
What about high school players right now, Coach? And again, we've talked about this over time about how that talent with the portal is almost getting a little bit left behind. How do you keep an eye on the high school kids?
Well, I mean, and I know we haven't talked about it, but I mean, we're still actively recruiting a few high school 26s right now. So, I mean, there are still some out there. High level kids too, that could help us. So, we do not stop looking at that. I mean, I think, I don't know what people think in recruiting, but it never stops, it's like, it's a daily thing. So, I think we have a good pulse on, some high school kids right now.
Okay. Good deal. So we talked about what you look for in a guard when you're recruiting. What about the forwards or the post?
Yeah, I mean, I think for us is, the main thing I look for is their hands. Can they catch a ball? And I know that seems very simple, but soft hands can take you a long way. How well they get up and down the floor. How they move after they set a ball screen. Is it quick turns and quick runs, or is it not quick? So, hands and feet are big. Obviously, all the other things are, can they defend a post player inside? Can they defend if, we want to switch 1-5? Are they able to guard on the perimeter? So all that stuff comes into play as well.
Yeah, you go out there and you're trying to get them to come on board. What do you tell them about ET? You've got 3 years under your belt here now. What do you tell them to help recruit them here to Commerce?
Yeah, I mean, I think right now for us is, and for kids these days too, it's so much about fit, so much about style of play. Kids want to go somewhere that they know that they fit that style and that they're going to have an opportunity to play. So we talk about that a lot, and also they want to feel wanted, needed, and it's, I don't know that, I know we don't recruit kids that we're not we're not going to offer or we don't really want. So I think that helps us in the recruiting and battles too. Just we kind of focus in on who we really, really want and give them all of our attention.
What's the response when, hey, we're going to be playing in a new house here pretty soon?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people, love to hear that. I think more so just of the growth and, the backing that we have, the support that we have. I think it shows that that's what our university is all about. And I think that's what tells our story. I think it tells it to the recruits that, we care, the university cares, the community cares, and you're coming somewhere that wants to grow.
With high school kids, you've got to win the parents too. But do the parents come into play with the JUCOs or even a portal transfer?
Yeah. I mean, yes, there is important at any point in the recruiting process. High school kid, JUCO transfer. They're important at any point.
Good deal. Coach, it's going to be a busy weekend on campus. Are y'all going to be off in gyms elsewhere? Or are you going to be around for the spring celebration?
We will be around, yes.
Good deal. Well, we'll see you at the Diamond.
Yep, we'll be there.
All right, folks, Valerie King. She is busy in the off season, but we'll get time to visit with her anyway. Thanks so much, Coach. And folks, stick around. We've got more Inside Lion Athletics coming right up. Hey, everybody, welcome back. Some more Inside Lion Athletics. Talk about all the new stuff with women's basketball. New stuff meaning they're not games right now. It's time to go recruit for next year's squads. But now we get to talk about track and field. George Pinnock is here, and the indoor season has come to its close. Lions were represented in Birmingham in the high jump. Janelle Jacoby, our flying Lion, finished in the top 16 nationally. That's pretty cool stuff.
Yeah, just super proud of her. Coming back from a surgery last season that kept her out, and to come back, have an indoor season, to have a personal best in that season, and then to make what I believe is the hardest national championship to make. Proud of her, and think that sets a pretty strong foundation for what we hope to accomplish in our outdoor season.
All right, very good. I know that from when she was on with us last, and we're going to talk to her again today. She really likes outdoor a little bit better. She says the air is not quite as stale.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think that's one of the things that a lot of people like is that being outside is just you have a little more freedom to move around. Your warm up is less congested, and you're not at the mercy of the person controlling the AC in the building.
That's an important task right there. Who gets a sweater and who gets the to wear a shirt sleeve? All right, so with indoors done, you get right into outdoor competition, and you got both the men and the women headed to the TCU alumni invite in Fort Worth. Tell us a little bit about the season opening match.
Yeah, I'm excited to go back to TCU. Trying to think back, I think the last time we went down there as a team was probably 2016 or 2017. So it's been a good while. I think it's a great little facility, and just this early in the year, just trying to keep travel simple and give people the opportunity to race as much as possible, and really kind of set the foundation of what outdoor may look like and give them a place to kind of benchmark where they're at and set some goals about where they want to go.
Coach, what kind of facilities do they have there? Is it inside the football stadium, or is it a
They're
track only?
a track only facility, kind of just adjacent to the baseball stadium, over there on, I think it's Berry Street, but just a nice facility.
Good deal. Who do you expect to be like? It's track and field, so who's going to be fastest out of the gate for the Lions, do you think?
Oh man, you're asking me to pick.
Yeah.
I think there'll be some fast people, and there'll be some far throws, and there'll be some long jumps. So I don't know if it's a fair comparison. But I think some of our throwers, Romy Greasy, one of those from last year, had a great outdoor season throwing the disc. Didn't have that opportunity, so I think she's looking forward to that outdoor season. A couple long jumpers that redshirted our indoor season, finally getting to open up. So I think there's people across all events that are looking forward to this opportunity.
How do you think we fared against, and just for the indoor season, how did we end up doing overall against our Southland opponents? I
You
mean,
know, I think our women's team, I think that's probably the best women's team we've put forward in my time here. And what excites me is that, we had a few girls that redshirted, a few people that we brought in at semester that just weren't quite ready to race, that we feel like going into outdoor, could kind of make a run for the front of the Southland. And so we're excited about that. On the guy side, I'm really proud of them. I think it was just a year where luck wasn't on our side, some injuries across the board, some bad luck on really important days, to have a fair finish at the conference championship. It's hard to fault anyone when you're looking at the difference between 10 points and 1 or 2 points being 800ths of a second. That's a tough thing, right? We were on the wrong side of luck that day. So, just looking forward to seeing how we kind of recover from that, go into the outdoor, stay positive. And really push for what I think this team can do, which is towards the top of the Southland Conference.
All right. How about a relay teams? Are they all
Always,
geared up
always
and ready
important.
to go?
I don't know if we're geared up and ready to go. Again, I think early outdoor is all about kind of laying the foundation, establishing how important it is, just have the right mindset. And then as the season goes on, you kind of find the right personnel for those relays. And then the next step is kind of making sure that when you decide to go for it, that all four, five of those people sometimes are ready to go for it. You know, you can't have two fourths of a relay ready to go and the other two not. So it's just making sure that all those things line up and you go out there and put your best foot forward.
Okay. Hey, we were visiting about some of the disciplines that are not involved in indoor, like, and understandably so, the shot put, the discus, maybe the javelin. How eager, I mean, they work out a little bit. They can throw outside when the weather permits, but now you get to compete in it as well.
Yeah, you know, there's some commonalities between all those events, elements of the training that you know, for a discus thrower, they may throw the weight indoors, they may throw the shot indoors, and there's elements of training that are common between them.
Mm-hmm.
But you tend to just not be as good, quite frankly, at kind of that off event.
Mm-hmm.
When you're doing the training and you're getting better at things and you get to transfer that back to your main event, I think is reason to be excited for sure.
Okay. So this is kind of an off question, but it goes to indoor and outdoor training even. So Brian Dolhide with his golf team, if it's raining outside, they can go into a room and hit balls into a screen. And the screen tells them a lot about what they did. Has anybody ever come up with anything even similar for throwing sports? Might be hard to throw a shot put into a screen without breaking something, but
I mean, they have indoor rings. You can move a ring indoor. You throw into a net. Again, when you're indoors doing some of that training for the long throws,
mm-hmm.
we're not trying to necessarily gauge the distance of the throw. But we're looking at a little bit more of the technical elements of where the pressure is in the foot, release angles, what the orbit of the implement looks like. So you can do it indoors. You can train all of the outdoor implements indoors.
Mm-hmm.
We're not worried about measuring them. We're worried about being technically good at them.
And okay.
Then the marks will come.
Fair enough. Always good to get insights like that.
Yeah,
cool
we're,
stuff, Georgie.
We're track nerds. That's all we are.
That's okay. Go chase those hundredths of a second any day you like. Georgie Pidcock and Lion Track and Field. Good luck to you this weekend in Fort Worth. Can't wait to hear about it when you get back.
Thanks, Charlie.
All right, we'll line up here, everybody. Stick around. We've got more on the way on Inside Lion Athletics. Hey, folks, back with more Inside Lion Athletics. We get done with all the outdoor people or indoor people that are thrilled to be going outdoors. And then we go to the outdoor people that are there all the time, rain or shine. Here is head coach Brittany Miller, a Lions softball, and they just picked up a big dub down on the island in Corpus Christi. Coach, y'all been waiting on that one for a while. How much pressure does that take off your dugout?
I think that it was a good win for everybody. You know, I wouldn't say there was pressure, just the realization that, you know, we got to keep sticking to our process and moving forward. And, you know, when we have our offense, our defense, and our pitching all working on the same cylinder, we're good to go. So, you know, it's huge for us getting into this weekend against Lamar, and coming off a win is always better, and you know, especially being at home. So it'll be good.
All right. Tell us a little bit about Lamar. I believe they're coming into the games this weekend in Commerce at 3-3 in conference. But, you know, 3-3 could mean you played Southeastern and somebody else. So, you know how that goes.
Oh, yes. The conference competitive. So it'll be a good series for us against Lamar. They swing it. They have pitchers that are throwing well. At the end of the day, we got to come in. We got to be able to field our positions, throw, and, you know, keep the walks to a minimum,
mm-hmm.
And then come out and hunt our pitch. And, you know, if we do those things, then, you know, the outcomes will take care of itself.
Hitting could be a little different this weekend as well. A breeze out of the south, which favors the hitters instead of penalizes them like it did down in Corpus.
Yeah, Corpus's field was huge. So, coming back home, you know, we get to hit every day. We get to see the different wind, you know, on the daily. So we know how our field plays, and if our offense comes out and is doing the things that we've been working on and things that, you know, they're capable of doing, it'll be a good weekend.
Okay. Coach, we got to talk about the stop in Austin that you made down to Corpus. Defending national champs, what is it? They all have to play the Lions here of late.
Oh yeah.
Oklahoma, last couple of years. Now we get the Longhorns involved, and you got to pay a visit to a very nice collegiate softball park. I'll be honest, for me, I visited there in the early 2000s and didn't know that a better place could exist. They got a pretty nice house.
Yeah, they have an awesome atmosphere. Their fans are loud. They're out there. They're supporting their team. And so the atmosphere itself is just, it's something that you can't get every day. And so it's good for our athletes to be able to have that experience and be able to control their emotions and be able to lock in. And I think we did a good job overall locking in. We eliminate some of those walks in that game, and the score is a little different. But, you know, at the end of the day, they ended up having to put their starter back in, and we're going to keep feeding, you know, into everything that we can to keep moving forward and working on our process to be able to see, you know, the growth and the development that we're having. So it was a good stop, much needed stop.
What kind of confidence did your hitters gain from that game because that they made something happen? As you said, we were warming up. They manufactured a run against the defending national champs. It wasn't just the experience of being there, like it turned out in Oklahoma.
Yeah, no, they gained confidence. I think all around confidence was gained. We were able to hit their pitching. We put some solid contact, even the ones that didn't get through. You know, there was solid contact. We were swinging at our pitches, and you know, we keep telling them if they keep swinging at their pitches and they attack the strikes, you know, good things are going to happen. We have a solid offense when we're doing things that, you know, we've been working on. So, the confidence is there. The pitchers gained confidence and, you know, being able to get some of the top hitters in the country out, and get them to do what we need them to do. So it was a good week of softball.
Yeah, when you strike out one of the very best power hitters in all the nation, I'm not sure if she led the nation in home runs, but she got close in that game.
Oh yeah.
But my goodness, punching her out swinging
Oh yeah.
right there in the bottom of the first, that had to get the dugout a little bit jacked.
Oh yes, they're excited. Strikeouts are always fun.
Exactly. As long as you're not the one holding the bat.
Exactly.
So, Coach, one thing we've done or your team's done here in the last 10 days, you've played on an all artificial surface field like you have at home. At UT, they had carpet everywhere but the infield dirt. And then down in Corpus, it was all natural. What are your teams like playing on?
I think it's a mix. Some of them like being able to just have to wear their turfs, so they like the turf field. The dirt at UT was spectacular, so it's always nice to be playing on that. And then it goes back to their travel ball days sometimes when we go on all dirt, all grass fields. So, you know, it's kind of the best of all worlds, you know, in our sport because not all the surfaces are the same. So being able to play and adapt is something that they're used to, and they all have their own preferences.
Does an all dirt infield like that, like they had at UT or down in Corpus, does that make the ball bounce faster? Is it bouncing a little bit harder, coming off a bat?
It depends. So the surface at UT, it was a little bit harder. So you got the chop, you know, with the slapper, if a hard ground ball, they had a solid. They had a solid field, so it was bouncing. At Corpus, it was softer, so it played, I would say, less sharp. But on the turf, you know, you get the Sunday hops normally, depending on how the field plays that day. But I think it just depends, you know.
Okay. What, as a pitcher, that's what you used to do. What did you like? How many artificial surfaces were there 10 years ago?
I don't think I played on any outdoor artificial turf as a player. We played up at the dome at UNI, but that was it. That was the only turf that we played on.
Okay. And your last year playing competitively, just so we have a timeline.
You're gonna age me, huh?
Well, no, I'm no, we'll get your ID for that, coach.
2009 was the last year that we played. I played
Oh,
collegiate.
okay. That's all
Yeah.
right. Hey, if you think that makes you feel old, you look at me. Very cool. Well,
Yes.
it's a different day in sports, but man, it's a great day to be a Lion when you get that win on the road. And now you get to play at home, and it's going to be a busy weekend. Ought to be some good crowds with good weather.
Oh, yes, it'll be a nice, super nice weather this weekend. So we're excited.
All right. Well, coach, we will see you at the Diamond, and that's tomorrow.
Yes.
Game time, what, 3 and 5 or 5 and 7?
5 and 7.
At 5 and 7. And then on Saturday, we'll start at
Noon.
high noon. We'll be there. Be there in person and on the Lion Sports Network. All right,
Perfect.
coach. Well, good luck. Go get them, and we'll see you at the Diamond tomorrow.
Thank you.
All right, that's Brittany Miller, head coach of Lions softball. Picked up a win down in Corpus and looking for more this weekend when Lamar comes in. Come on out and watch. We'll be back with more Inside Lion Athletics right after this. Well, congratulations on that. And it's a heck of a time for something to come up and bite you in the hip, so to speak. But that's track and field too, as well. So you're going to take a little time off, heal, recover, and then you get to your favorite part of track and field, the outdoor season. All right, so tell us a little bit remind everybody why. We talked about this about a month or so ago when we had you on last, but why do jumpers like you, and you particularly, like going outdoor instead of doing indoor?
Well, I feel like there's no difference between outdoor and indoor, but I prefer it because that's when it's hot. And I
Okay.
feel like, to me, I like the heat. I'm from the Caribbean, so I enjoy being in the heat and stuff like that. Some people can't handle the heat, but you know, that's what I prefer. I feel like it's better than indoor, kind of, because you know, it's always cold in there. You have to get your blanket. You have to make sure that you're not freezing, and you have to warm up really well. It's always something when it comes to indoor, you know. And but outdoor, there's a lot more, how would I say? There's a lot more things to put in place, like environmental wise. You know, it could be too windy, it could be all of these things, but I don't know. I just prefer being outside.
Well, that's all right. So when you talked about the environmental, how does the wind behind you, in front of you, or even from side crosswind, how do those affect the way that you jump?
Sometimes you have to kind of it's more like testing the waters when it comes to outdoor. If it's too windy, sometimes you have to either slow down your approach or speed it up. It just depends on the direction of the wind. It's almost like sprinting, you know. You have to put more force into the ground if you have a wind that's coming towards you and not behind. So sometimes it just depends. Either you run slower or you run faster.
Does the headwind or a tailwind impact a jumper in flight? Does that headwind hold you up a little more, or does a tailwind kind of, putting pressure on you to bring you down to earth faster?
I actually don't feel like it does much, like when you're in the air. Feel like it works pretty much the same.
Okay. Hey, I
Yes.
was not a high jumper, and I bet a lot of people weren't high jumpers.
Yeah.
And we have to lean on the experts here. So, looking ahead to the schedule, you'll have all of your teammates. Not every meet, but it's a bigger family when the Lions go out to show how fast they are and how high they can jump, right?
Yes,
What
that's
are
one.
your favorite aspects of an outdoor meet besides the competition?
My favorite aspects.
Yeah. You get to meet a lot more athletes. Is there any hanging around amongst the high jumpers when they're called over to their area to get ready?
I feel like we tend to like interact a lot. But outdoor is when I kind of get to see some of my friends from back home, like at big meets like Texas Relays and stuff like that. I kind of get to, you know, see them because Texas Relays is one of the biggest meets that we go to apart from nationals and regionals. And it kind of, you know, makes me feel better, you know, seeing everybody, you know, it kind of warms my heart a little bit to know that they're okay and stuff like that. That's like one of the things that I like about it because I get to see people that I know from back home.
That's great. So how many will you see at a meet where you run into friends? I mean, 5 or 6 or 10 or 20 or how big a number is it?
I don't know. It just depends. Sometimes I see them, sometimes I don't.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right. It's always good to run in somebody that you've known a long time. The meets that are coming up, is there any one that you're going to be looking forward to more than any others? Based on the venue, I like jumping here at that place or
I actually really like the Bobcat meet. It's quite exciting. I did love the experience there. I prefer it more than Texas Relays, honestly, but that's just my take. I don't know. I guess I don't know, it's just the feel of the mat. It looks nice, well taken care of, you know, it's more enjoyable that way, you know, when it seems like, you know, they put effort into the jumping pit and stuff like that. I don't know. It me feel happy sometimes, you know. Sometimes you go to meets and you look at the condition of their apron and you kind of just can tell that they love what they do and you know. That's kind of why I like the Bobcat meat.
Okay, fair enough. All right, last question because we're running out of time, but what events do you like to watch the most?
Apart from high jump,
Apart from high jumping, right.
I like to watch the hurdles. That's one of my favorite ones. And also pole vaults is one of my favorites. Long and triple as well.
Okay. So as long as there's some kind of flying involved, you're all on top of it. And
Yeah.
flying over the hurdles counts. All right. Well, Janelle, hey, we wish you the best. Hurry up and get back to 100%. And hey, great job. You got your bar at the Nationals.
Thank you.
And that's something that all but there's only 15 other people in the whole country that can say that this year. So good stuff.
Thank you.
Let's line up here.